At IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
Public Affairs programming on WQPT is brought to you by the Singh Group at Merrill, serving the wealth management needs of clients in the region for over 35 years.
Listening to what young teenagers have to say and putting on your pajamas at the Putnam in the cities. It's become a holiday tradition, checking out the Polar Express on the big screen at the Putnam Museum. But you can make new memories this season at the Putnam. That's just ahead. But first, listening to the kids. The United Way of the Quad Cities is in the midst of an interesting project that may help reduce a serious problem in our schools. The program is called Student Voices, and the problem is chronic absenteeism. The newly released Iowa School Performance Report shows 5,000 of Davenport's 13,000 students missed 10% or more of their classes. That's 38% of students. The statewide average, 21%. Bettendorf is almost 23%. In Illinois, Molina's 30%, Rock Island, 35%. And that's well above the Illinois average of 26%. Now to the solution. The United Way has assembled middle school students to come together to talk about their concerns about school. 850 students from 13 different schools. The facilitator is the Senior Vice President of Community Impact, Daniel Sheridan. He joined us in the studio. Let's talk about student voices. It really is, it's growing out of the concern over chronic absenteeism, which is what we're seeing all over the place, especially since the pandemic.
Yeah, well, you know, students right now, I mean, pre-pandemic, attendance of students who were not chronically absent, so that's missing 10% of their classes over the course of a year, about 17 days. 81% of students were meeting attendance needs, but you know where we are this year, this last school year, is about 71%. That 10% gap is a big concern because a student who's chronically absent once between 8th and 12th grade is four times less likely to graduate. So that's part of that stumbling process of, you know, obviously the child is not making the decision not to get him or herself to school. There's all the family dynamics and pressures behind that and stuff kids are experiencing that we might assume we know, but we don't know until we ask somebody what's going on.
Well, you're real familiar with the Big Table. That was a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was an effort to get people to discuss what's good and what's bad about the Quad City area and to act on it. And now you have Student Voices where you're almost assembling the same type of thing. You're in middle schools. You have an age-specific group that is very seldom, if ever, heard from.
Right. Well, and you know, the other thing, the broad-based approach is we were in all middle schools in the Quad Cities. So we were able to sit with students at tables of 10 to 12 kids and then have a conversation with them that wasn't led by their teachers or the United Way staff. It was business leaders and volunteers in the community who came in to engage in these conversations with them. And you know, the conversations weren't just, you know, what doesn't work for you in school. It's what do you like about school? This and
right.
The best way to get a group of junior high kids talking, just to start talking, is what do you guys think of lunch? You know,
yeah.
And then that casual conversation heats up, but we're there for 40 minutes. That's a great place to start.
Right. Well, and the key is that the kids feed off each other, and that's how you build the knowledge of what's needed.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there, I didn't lead any of the conversations, but I was able to sit in rooms where conversations were happening. So I was able to listen to and start to hear some common threads and also hear kids build off each other, because having these kind of conversations isn't something kids casually have on their own, but they do hear like, oh, I'm having that experience too. Me too. Me too. What about this and that? And gathering all of that information and then resourcing it back to leaders is the first part of Student Voices.
Okay, so let's talk about the common threads that you were mentioning.
Sure.
What did you notice?
Sure. You know, I think it'll be interesting. We're working with Western Illinois to take all of the data that we collected up from open conversations and pre and post survey and try to give us back, you know, what those common threads are. But some of the things that I was hearing, you know, were stories about one of the reasons I don't participate in after-school programs is my parents' work. I could participate in after-school programs, but it gets dark. I live a mile away. I don't feel safe walking home, so I just don't do after-school programming. You know, like, wow, you know, that's important to hear and important to know. Also, things as simple as deferred maintenance. You know, our schools are dealing with a lot, but somebody talked about how in the men's room, boys' room, cafeteria, there's been a urinal that sprays all over you when you flush it. So there's only one stall, and it's the lunchroom, and so I can't go to the bathroom, and then I have to go to the bathroom all day, but I'm not allowed to leave the class. Like, these, just lots of little stories, mm-hmm. and just trying to find, you know, the commonalities in them.
Because I wonder, because some of the things you're saying, you know, you kind of sit there and go, are kids allowed to be kids anymore?
Right, sure.
There's so many other responsibilities, and as you said, the family dynamics have changed so much.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of kids are responsible for getting their younger siblings to school in the morning, and then they show up at junior high, so they can't do those before school activities. Mm-hmm. It's just very difficult for them to access those things. And so just learning about the whole need of the students, and then also to identifying in an upfront way, what do you love about school? What are concerns you have about school? But the next 2 and 3 year phase of this project was also the question we asked them of, what do you think you could do, you know, to change it? We're not asking you to be the one responsible for it, but what could you do to help make that change? And then identifying students who are interested in having their voice heard again. So we're going to be developing a Students United coalition that will be composed of these students that might meet quarterly or bi-monthly to make sure that their voices are heard, we're listening to them, and then bring key community players or bring them to the key community players so that they have to hear from the kids. Grown-ups have all the solutions, right? But kids do too. Students do.
But this is kind of unprecedented, this particular age group, because you hear from adults all the time and different sectors of adults. You hear from high school students and seniors, maybe not as much as we should, but you do hear them. But middle school students, the early teens, mm-hmm. you very seldom hear them and mm-hmm. their collective voice.
Well, and, you know, so United Way 11 years ago started an education council. And that's all 8 superintendents of the big districts in the Quad Cities, 4 in Iowa and 4 in Illinois. And there, you know, we don't just come up with our own directives. We want to collaborate with others and figure out what would be good for them to learn. And the superintendents, exactly that. Like, we don't have a proper convening of these kids. And that's what the United Way does, is convene and create coalition to make change. So this was really directed by them, because the superintendents also felt like we really need to hear their voices. And this is a way that group moves as a collective in the Quad City area. So when they consider third grade reading level, you know, North Scott's not comparing themselves to Bettendorf. No, they're just looking at the data as a team. It's an amazing room to be in. Our superintendents look at the whole spectrum of student experience, even after, K through 12.
So help me understand how this might cut into chronic absenteeism.
Sure.
From what you have learned or what the students have said.
Well, I mean, that's the important piece, is because we're looking to address chronic absenteeism, you know, as far as getting the feedback from the students, is what is the most important thing that is making it difficult for them to be in the classroom? And that question was asked too. And so, you know, hopefully by knowing what it is for them, we can build supports around that. Because again, we think we know,
mm-hmm.
but it's much better to, I mean, they're the ones living in the school. They're the ones there who are there 8 hours a day experiencing services and stuff. And so we're hoping to find something we can act on, and then also bring them along and teach them about their voice and being leaders so that they can advocate for the changes they think are valuable.
Because conventional wisdom, you blame the pandemic.
Right. And you know, yes, I mean, the pandemic is, by all education metrics that we follow, is this huge boof in the middle of all of those. And so now we have these kids that are after the pandemic, or before the pandemic and then after the pandemic, but we can't, I don't know. A lot of the indicators we look at weren't good enough before the pandemic. You know, we need to be doing better as a community, as a whole, regardless. And so, these kids were definitely hit by that as well. And there are new challenges right now in our community economically and social mobility and a lot of things that are placing these kids and their families in difficult situations.
So tell me where you go from here, because this is obviously something that's ongoing.
And
the information that you've gotten so far, as you said, Western Illinois University is, for lack of a better term, collating all the information and gathering it all together.
Right. So they'll be getting us all of the data back probably by late January, early February. And then we'll be working with our education council, who isn't just superintendents, it's also business leaders and nonprofit leaders that are in the room, to take a good look at that and then develop some action steps, some things, figure out what is it that we can do now, but then bringing the students alongside that conversation as well. It's just not good enough to do one and done, you know, like, we heard you, thanks.
That's
and,
exactly
and we go
it.
Away for four years, and then we come back and they get, you know, they get here and then we don't continue the dialogue. So that's just a huge component of it is keeping students as one of the players at the table for making these choices.
You were pointing out that you had talked to the superintendents and that they really thought that this was important as a gathering spot. I mean, we're talking about 800 kids from more than a dozen schools.
Mm-hmm.
What did the kids tell you? Were they happy to be heard?
Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we were all junior high kids once, like, oh my gosh, you know. Cross-armed, like, this is going to be another thing.
That's why that age group, that's what I mean. I mean, to hear those voices, that's why some people didn't necessarily want to hear them.
Right. We've received letters and phone calls and follow-up from the volunteers who were involved that were profoundly moved and impacted and are now allied with the voices that they heard and saying, what are you doing? What are you doing with this? Because I went in and I talked to those kids and I told them this was going to matter. And so now you have to make it matter. And I love accountability.
Yeah, right.
So there's that pressure. But the kids along the way, because we did not shut down any conversation, I mean, unless something was openly aggressive or, you know, discriminatory, but the conversation was open. And so it wasn't, you know, we can only answer these four things. It was just a dialogue. And I think people enjoy that. I mean, that's the concept of the big table, too, going back to 2018 and 19 in the community. What goals do we need to set for 2030 based off of where we are now? And just talk about it from different sectors. And
we have talked to you on this program several times
because
you were the head of the Davenport Junior Theater.
Yeah.
And now you're with United Way.
Mm-hmm.
And community impact is an interesting title.
Yeah.
That had to be a draw for you. I mean, what is it about your experience with the theater and now this new job that you have? Is it the connection with youth that you think is going to be really important moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously youth is a huge component of what we do, and it was a big draw for me. You're right. You know, at junior theater, my work was about developing voices and helping kids communicate and speak clear and confidently, be creative, be storytellers, be empathetic to other people's experiences. And that kind of work directly translates to this as well, is, you know, bringing voices together to find commonalities and hear one another and then take action in the community. So not only student voices, but another initiative that is underway is our United for Schools initiative. And we started it in 2021 in Madison Elementary, committing staff to build coalitions and resources inside the schools. Our Vision to Learn program put glasses on all kids who needed them so they could see to participate in class. Books and barbers for haircuts for kids, STEAM on wheels, just building these resources that the school community and families said they need and looking at wraparound support. And that is the place where families are convening, you know, that's the common safe place that a family goes. So if we can provide more resource for the families, more resource for the kids and lift them so that they can find their way forward and graduate and make a living wage and feel like they're part of and connected to this community.
Our thanks to the Quad Cities United Way Senior Vice President of Community Impact, Daniel Sheridan. In a moment, get your jammies ready. We're taking a holiday ride. That's up next. But first, let's check in with Visit Quad Cities with a look at events in our area.
Check out the things to do this week in the Quad Cities. Start off with watching National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation on December 17th at the Adler Theater. Then you can attend a polar pajama party on December 19th at the Putnam Museum. Next, try out an open mic night on December 19th at the Bootleg Hill Honeybees. Then, John Deere employees can get two free tickets for Storm Hockey at the Vibrant Arena at the Mark. And finally, bring your dogs to Lights and Leashes so they can see those lights at the Quad City Botanical Center. For more events like these, visit our events calendar at visitquadcities.com.
The Putnam Museum is in the midst of a transformation that will better show off the 250,000 artifacts in its possession. It's part of a 3-year, $7 million museum-wide renovation. And right now, until January 5th, there's free admission to check out what's new and a chance to bring your pajamas to the museum for a holiday tradition. We talked with the president and CEO of the Putnam Museum, Cindy Deal Yang, as well as Scott Peek, the membership director, about the traditions and what's new. So Cindy, people can actually experience the Putnam and other museums for free through January 3rd. Who's this thanks to?
This is sponsored by the Quad Cities Cultural Trust, which is an organization in the Quad Cities that supports the cultural activities and organizations throughout all four of the Quad Cities.
And this is really a great way, or a great time, I should say, to see all that's going on at the Putnam.
It is. It's a fantastic time. We are just launching our Putnam Reimagined public phase of our capital campaign. So right now, when you come to the Putnam, you can actually see part of the things that are already finished, which is great. Our World Culture Gallery and our local history, which is called Common Ground. Those are live, as well as the Quad City Innovators Gallery. So it's exciting. But at the same time, you get to see us while we're in progress. Mm-hmm. So even driving up, you can see the whole front of the building is being redone and revitalized. And then as you come down the sloped walkway, that's going to be all turned into an outdoor learning area. So there'll be tables and new concrete and graphics as it leads you in. Signage on the building. So we're excited to have people take part like at this really great time.
Well, and Scott, I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. and that is that you get people that come and visit a museum such as the Putnam,
yeah.
And they may not come back for a couple of years because we've already seen it.
Right.
And that's so not true.
Oh, totally not true. I mean, right now we've got the Hubble Space Telescope exhibit, which is, you know, brand new and awesome. So you don't want to miss that.
It's out of this world. There's always, I was going to say, but still, I mean,
there's always something to, you know, if you haven't been there in 6 months, it would be different. If you haven't been here in 2 years, it would be wildly different. So there's always something different.
And you talk about the what's great about the Putnam also is the big screen theater.
Oh yeah.
So when you're talking about the Hubble, and you're talking about the exhibits, you want to go and see the program as well.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. It's a whole experience. You could do the Hubble exhibit. And then we've got a new movie. It's actually not just new to the Putnam, but new period. A movie called Space that's in 3D on the giant screen.
Which is the way you want to see it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you can be a space traveler.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Feel all the rumbles from the rockets.
The other thing about the big screen theater is that there's a tradition of the Polar Express.
Yes.
And I got to tell you the truth. I was really... the screen is... you really get enveloped in it, and I'm kind of a wuss. I'm sitting there going, oh, this could be a little unnerving for me because it's a little too much reality coming
right.
at once. But the Putnam's really turned it into an event, which also involves pajamas, and it's great memory maker.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's a family favorite. It's our 18th year doing the Polar Express pajama parties. And, you know, new things every year. This year we have a new addition to the Putnam family, JP the Polar Bear. He's going to be there, and there's going to be a story time with JP. So he's not going to be able to read the story, but he'll be able to sit and cuddle with the kids and hear a story.
It's very, very quiet.
Yeah.
We've talked in the past, Cindy, in regards to the 250,000 artifacts that is in the Putnam collection. Hard to believe.
Yes.
And sometimes it hasn't seen the light of day, so to speak. It hasn't been seen in the public. And part of this whole renovation and the rejuvenation of the Putnam Museum allows you to show them off in a specific exhibit.
It does. So one of the crown jewels of this whole experience that we're putting together is the vault. And the vault is a place in the Putnam that will allow us to have our storage on display. So all behind the high glass shelves, and it's being all reimagined as a vault. It feels very vault-like, you know, so where all your treasures are kept, the public will be able to see so many of the things that we haven't been able to necessarily put out, whether it be due to size, you know, keeping it safe. Some of them are very large that are going in there, or some of them we have some smaller collections and it's hard to say, you know, how do you put that into an exhibit? There's not quite enough. And so people will be able to see that along with interactives that will allow them to get more information on it or create their own exhibit. There's one where they can pull things from the vaults and make their own exhibit.
So give me an example of something that would be in the vault that people haven't seen.
So we have in the vault, we have a goddess that is a statue that is probably 12 feet tall that I know used to be out but has been in the vault for some time. There's a lot of fashion. So one of the things that the Putnam has is a fantastic collection of clothing throughout time. And so part of the vault will have mannequins where we can change in and out that clothing so that people can see that, how it's all progressed and what the significance have been. We have several samurai suits as part of that, which are pretty cool as well. And like the whole, you know, breastplate all the way down. So just a couple of examples of things that might, you know, you might see there.
Well, you think of a museum and you don't really necessarily think of clothing, but I go back a number of years to the Diana exhibit,
oh, yeah,
which was monstrously huge for the Putnam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think there was one just not too recently, too, that was about suffragettes. That was a lot of clothing was there as
right.
well. But there's a vast amount of clothing within.
There are a couple galleries that are already open. Common Ground, which we've talked about before. And,
yeah.
and tell me once again, the key to Common Ground has always been local, local, local.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's the local history. It used to be River Prairie People and had a very specific flow to it. This is a slightly more inclusive look at our history here in the Quad Cities area.
And it came about with a lot of community input.
Absolutely, yeah. There were a lot of I wish I knew the number off the top of my head of how many local curators were involved in it. But the joy of Common Ground really is that it's no longer in a linear timeline setup.
Right.
It's kind of more thematic so that it can grow and evolve. And the more part of what we want to do is collect more artifacts, more stories of Quad City things, and put them right into the exhibit.
It's going to continue to grow, and once again, we're talking about community input,
yep,
especially from perhaps parts of the community that don't get represented very well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we can show what we have. So part of that exhibit is saying every story is important, to the point where we have a storytelling booth where you can go in and follow some question prompts and tell your story. Because, you know, we know what we have, but we know there's so many more things out there that the community has that are important that everyone would like to see.
Innovators Gallery is another one that is open. I like the smile on your face because you're proud of that as well.
Yes. Well, probably the Innovators Gallery so far is my favorite area just because I'm new to the Quad Cities. So I didn't know that the bread slicer was invented here. You know, I didn't
Everyone
know.
Knows that.
Well, now
no,
I do
kidding,
because I went to the Innovators Gallery.
Go.
So now I know that, you know, that the first patented washing machine in the United States was patented in the Quad Cities. And,
okay, that I didn't
you know,
know.
So
yeah, that's your favorite.
That is my favorite one because a son actually built it for his mom.
Nice.
Best child ever, right?
Yeah, but did he take the clothes out and fold it?
No, probably
See, that's
not.
The whole thing.
Or put them away.
Yeah, exactly. Away. Exactly. Another great thing that's going on at the Putnam, of course, is those winter camps you have.
Yeah.
When you have your kids home for the extended break and you want to get them out of the house.
Well, yeah.
But there's, I mean, the camps have been going on for a number of years as well.
Yeah, we just actually just started the winter camps last year. But they're really STEM focused, so they're going to be doing, like, when I came home and said to my daughter, I said, oh, are you interested in any of these camps? I read through descriptions.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, they're making toys for Santa, and they're doing robots, and they're doing 3D pens and different stuff. And she's like, well, I want to do that, you know. So I think it's not even just get rid of your kids, but something fun for them to do.
And that's really part of the Putnam's mission, is that it really is a true place for families to learn and grow.
Yep, families with children are a huge, huge market for us. And we mean that from the smallest children to, you know, grandparents that bring their grandchildren to take part. So we see a lot of that at the Putnam, and we're excited to have everybody always during the Polar PJ, but then also, you know, for those camps. There's five of them, you know, that you can do one, you can do one day, you can do 2 day, or you can do all five.
And what is the key for 2025? What's the exciting thing that you kind of can hint and perhaps even tell me a little bit more about?
Oh, well, I mean, there's so many different things.
we're
just excited for this capital campaign to be done.
Come through fruition.
And have a big, splashy opening event in May. And then we'll have some new exhibits. We have a new exhibit coming in February after Hubble. It'll be kind of a fun, interactive exhibit, sort of like an escapee room using Mayan math.
Oh, my.
So
all right.
That'll be another one that'll be great for all ages, too.
So the Putnam is meeting its mission.
Yes, we are. Yep. We're excited to have everybody be part of that connecting with history, science, culture. You know, that's really, we want to preserve, connect, and educate.
Our thanks to Cindy Deal Yang, the president and CEO of the Putnam, and Scott Peek, its marketing and membership director. And once again, the free museum admission is continuing, and it's thanks to the Quad City Cultural Trust. It runs through January 5th. Plus, the Polar Express Pajama Party is being held December 19th through the 22nd. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
At IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
Public affairs programming on WQPT is brought to you by the Singh Group at Merrill, serving the wealth management needs of clients in the region for over 35 years.